Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey everyone, today I've got Sergio, a registered dietitian and nutritionist, to talk to us about hydration. Welcome, Sergio, and thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Of course, thanks for having me, Janice.
So I always ask my guests, what got you here today to talk to us about hydration and your whole journey into nutrition?
Of course. So I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I kind of fall heavily on that title because I worked hard to get there. What that kind of means is that I, in the U.S. especially, so in the U.S. I did my bachelor's degree in nutrition. I actually also completed my master's degree in public health nutrition and completed what's called a dietetic internship. It is a supervised practice where I actually kind of get run through the gamut of nutrition counseling and in hospitals and inpatient, outpatient, specialized services, things like that. And I kind of got to that goal of mine. It really started when I was pretty young. I got really into sports. I was a track runner and a cyclist. And if you've ever done sports, you understand how important nutrition is to your athletic performance. That got me kind of thinking, and I've always been a sciencey guy, and I got super into the science behind, you know, hydration, nutrition, how that affected my performance on the field, and decided that this was what I really wanted to study. So I went ahead, went to the university and got my degree in this. And then I didn't just kind of want to get a 4-year degree and be done. I was good at school, so I continued, and I was like, well, cool, let's do this master's thing, let's do this dietitian thing, to kind of put myself in a career where I am an expert in nutrition.
And, you know, like you said, anyone who does any kind of sport, but I played many years of netball at school, and, you know, I did some running as well, and 100% hydration, I think people don't really realize how important hydration is. And then when we come to a modern day kind of lifestyle, I find myself often reminding people around me, especially in an office setting, to hydrate. Mm-hmm. And I almost can't believe this is something I need to remind people about, right? Because you would have thought, you know, even as children, we would be told, drink water.
I know. I that's so funny. I totally agree with that statement. I think I love when you're like on social media and someone shares a meme that says, you needed to hear this today, drink water, because it's so true. You really do need those kind of nudges. And I even actually, and even some of my tips I'll give, we can get to this later, but I actually tell people sometimes you need to even set a reminder, like a reminder on your phone, drink water. It won't hurt, you know?
So let's get into some basics, I guess, about hydration. And for most people, I can imagine, you know, questions would be around how much is enough, what counts as hydrating, and maybe let's talk about why it's so important, right? Because we've all had the saying, we are however many percent water.
Yeah.
Right. So why is it so important?
Yeah, that's exactly where most of this starts, is that we are mostly water, understanding over 50% of our body is actually comprised of water. So that alone, we can assume that water is really important, and it is important, and it gets to this concept in physiology of homeostasis, right? Homeostasis is this idea that there's a certain equilibrium in your body between the solutes in the water, what proteins you're comprised of, what fat you're comprised of, and when homeostasis isn't reached, or this kind of equilibrium isn't reached, your body doesn't work as well as it could. You know, you'll still be alive. Sometimes people still feel healthy, but you're not really excelling and your health isn't necessarily at its top, you know, which is what I think we always strive for, is to kind of be as healthy as we can for ourselves.
And actually a lot of our bodily functions require, you know, a minimum level of hydration, right? It's not just about, you know, having a dry mouth or none of these things, right? There's a lot more inside of us that need the water.
Absolutely, yeah. So many physiological processes are dependent on just the ability and the availability of water, you know, hydrogen and oxygen, the two molecules that make up water, right? Like, you hear those a lot. It's part of organic chemistry if we ever took a course.
And what are some of the symptoms, I guess, or signs of us not being hydrated enough?
Signs of not really being hydrated. I mean, it's at the point that someone becomes dehydrated, signs of dehydration can be pretty severe, right? A lot of times people associate like a headache related to being dehydrated. It's a general feeling of being unwell. So maybe being a little tired, having a headache, not really, you know, you get that little dry mouth feeling. That's common. I'm trying to think what else.
I mean, one thing that I know a lot of people neglect, actually, is first thing you do in the morning when you go to the toilet, what color is it? I think that's a pretty good indication. I think it's normal in the morning for the first trip to the bathroom for it to be slightly colored, because you've had the whole night where your body's doing a lot of things. But then throughout the day, I think people should be noticing, like, if your pee is pretty yellow, drink more water. I think that's a pretty clear sign of it. And especially now when in the office, a lot of people are staring at screens a lot. You know, you would think, okay, your eyes are dry and all of that. And actually yesterday I read an article that someone was saying, this winter, ladies, you don't have to worry about buying, you know, super expensive moisturizing creams if you are well hydrated from the inside. So I think dry skin as well, especially, you know, coming into winter.
Yeah, dry skin can be a little bit, but it, you know, and we'll probably talk about it. It's kind of these factors affecting hydration. And there's a lot of the kind of environmental factors that even affect that. And you can have dry skin. Doesn't necessarily mean you're underhydrated. I'm glad you brought up the kind of urine color, because that's probably the most practical way for you to assess your current hydration at home. You know, it's not an exact way. It's not a exact science, right? If you urinate into a toilet with a little more water, it gets diluted. Therefore, you can't compare the color across, you know, different toilets. Let's put it that way. But you're right. You know, when you wake up in the morning, it's pretty expected that your urine's going to be a little darker as you drink water or other fluids during the day. It should lighten up, and you should kind of aim for that level of kind of a lighter urine color, because thankfully there's very little evidence that you can drink too much water. You know, drinking too much water only is a problem at a level that no one can really sustain. I mean, it's like you're having a water drinking challenge. And you're drinking gallons and gallons and gallons. And like, yeah, at that point, you're doing something bad to your body. But it's probably okay to drink a little more water than it is to drink a little less.
I was going to ask you that, actually, because, of course, in things like TV shows or whatever, you do see the portrayal of someone who, I don't know, has a drinking problem in terms of water. And then they drink too much water. And you know, everything goes off balance. So does that mean that's actually pretty impossible to achieve?
Yeah, it's pretty impossible to achieve in a normal situation. Again, the only way you would drink too much water there's pretty much two situations. One is you're doing something kind of dumb and doing a water drinking challenge, and you're just guzzling and guzzling and guzzling because you think it's fun. And then the other situation we see in really high level athletics. So this is, and I'm not talking, oh, I, you know, did a 30 minute run at the gym. I'm talking like marathon runners and ultra marathon runners, and you know, they can in theory drink too much water and actually dilute the concentration of other nutrients in their blood. So particularly sodium, which is a really important electrolyte when you're doing, you know, high intensity sports. But that's, again, that's that extreme situation. So you're not going to run into that in your day-to-day life.
So does that mean people might be over drinking because they associate, you know, I'm sweating, I'm exercising, I have to drink, instead of actually feeling or knowing for sure that they need to replenish?
Sort of. So again, in that circumstance, we're talking about a lot of exertion. You know, you're talking about a lot of exertion, a lot of sweating, probably, you know, I'm thinking of this ultra marathoner in the desert in 100 degrees. And when they drink only water, so that's why this is kind of where the mention of sports drinks came from. If they're drinking only water, they can actually like dilute the level of sodium particularly, but these other ions in their body. And then that's when their body actually starts kind of shutting down. That doesn't happen in your day-to-day life, right? That's not something the average person should really worry about. Unless you are taking on this, you know, maybe doing a marathon or being exerted for more than an hour is usually like a good threshold. That it matters if you actually take in something like a sports drink, because now you're worried about replenishing not just water, but also the electrolytes in your body to stay kind of able to run or do a triathlon or whatever that may be.
And I guess this segues really nicely into, so how much is enough for everybody? Because we've all heard at the 8 glasses, the 2 liters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great one. And the answer is it depends. A lot of people don't like that, but it really depends. There are a lot of factors affecting the individual, and that affects how much water or fluid you should be taking in, right? And we'll call it, we're referring to it as water, but all fluids kind of count towards your water intake. You know, if you're drinking coffee, tea, a sports drink, soda, those actually do contribute to your overall water intake. Even food does. A lot of people don't realize, but even the food you eat actually contains water and is contributing to your fluid level in your body. The difference being something like watermelon, a fruit, has a lot more water content, therefore contributes a little bigger percentage to your fluid intake than a piece of meat, because a piece of meat might be a little less water, a little more fat and things like that, but it matters. And so, yeah, I think the recommendations, and honestly, pick any one of them is fine. They're a great place to start. So if you're really wanting to narrow down, okay, what do I want? How much should I be drinking to feel healthy? Start with maybe one of those recommendations. I think, you know, for women, it's somewhere in that like 2 to 2.5 liters. For men, it's somewhere in that 2.5 to 3 liters. It's a fine place to start, but it's definitely not a hard, fast rule. And I highly recommend that you tailor your daily water intake to, first off, your personal factors and also the environmental factors around there. So personal factors are you know, things like age matter. What else you're eating matters. You know, I mentioned that food can contribute a little bit to that. Mm-hmm. If you're on any medications, there can be some interactions occurring there. You know, I'm talking medications as just as simple as like ibuprofen or whatever. And also your activity level makes a huge, huge difference. If you're somebody who is generally hitting the gym, is doing a lot of cardio, your water intake is very different than somebody, the requirement is very different than somebody who is relatively sedentary, working in an office environment. Also how much you talk,
a lot for both of us.
we actually expel a lot of moisture when we speak, right? And for example, if you're a person, you're an instructor, somebody that's standing in front of an audience constantly talking, your hydration is dependent on that. You actually expel a lot more of the water in your body just by talking versus somebody who maybe sits in front of a computer and doesn't talk at all during their work day, which is why you often see, you know, you get that dry mouth feeling and it's a good idea to take a little bit of sips. So our body does a pretty good job at also regulating when we drink, and that's in generally healthy individuals. And I make that distinction because I really do think it's important. and that's another piece of this individualization, is in a generally healthy individual, we're assuming that your thirst cues do a good job. So if you feel thirsty, mm-hmm. you should be drinking. It doesn't mm-hmm. don't interpret it as anything else, right? If you're feeling a little mm-hmm. thirsty, it's a good idea to drink something. Hopefully water. If it's something else, that's okay too. Unfortunately, a lot of people somehow deal with, you know, at some point in their life, deal with some other kind of condition or an environmental factor, right, that led to a condition. And that kind of affects how much water you should also drink. And it's dependent on that person.
And what about the idea that things like coffees and teas are diuretic, and that's why actually you should, you know, supplement, and things like beer, for example, people talk about, you know, you have beer and that tends to make you pee more mm-hmm. and therefore you need to supplement with additional water.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an issue around that. Could they be considered diuretics? Yes, but you also have to kind of consider the definition of a diuretic as really something that makes you excrete water. And when you think of a diuretic, a true diuretic is a drug that purposefully excretes water from your right. body because, you know, you have a medical condition that warrants it. Coffee, alcohol, they might have a mild diuretic effect, but to be honest, we don't have a lot of research kind of quantifying that. And okay. by definition, a diuretic is something that makes you excrete water, meaning something that makes you urinate more. So is water. So that doesn't make sense, right? How is water also a diuretic? But it in theory would be defined the same way. So I'd like to think of it more as like, look, coffee, alcohol don't hydrate you as much per volume that you consume than maybe water does. But water with added sodiums, you know, other electrolytes, they say that hydrates you better. And that is true, but it's honestly, it's just not an exact science. And then the other thing I point out is a lot of times the diuretic effect from coffee and alcohol tends to be kind of anecdotal, right? If you realize like, oh, I just drank this cup of coffee and I really have to pee. Well, I challenge you to think about how much volume of coffee you just ingested and how much time and how much alcohol mm-hmm. you ingest, right? You don't necessarily sip on a pint as much as you might drink it a lot quicker than you would water. So of course it's going to make you pee, but it's not like it's not the drug effect of like, this is a diuretic. It's going to make you excrete water. I don't know if that makes
sense. Yeah, because
I think
it's a very commonly quoted thing of breaking the seal when mm-hmm. it comes to yep. drinking beer, right? That and now that you've explained it like that, it does make more sense because people would talk about breaking the seal maybe four pints in. Mm-hmm. And if you had drank that much water, you would need the toilet.
Also
anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot more sense because
yeah, it's the same with coffee. I can't think, you know, how many people do you see grab 20 ounces of coffee and drink it in an hour? I mean, if you drink 20 ounces of anything in an hour, you're going to have to urinate.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense because I used to say to people, like, don't tell me about downing a pint. I can't even down a pint of water. Like, it's right. just unpleasant. and I think, yeah, with what you explained about how actually a lot of things outside of plain water contribute to our daily intake, I think that will be very welcomed news for a lot of people because there's been this ongoing debate about, is it 8 glasses of just water plus anything else? And, you know, looking into the nutrition side of things, you do know that food has water in it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we need to take into account that different body types will also, I guess, absorb water differently, or that you react to the food or the drinks a bit differently.
Yeah.
And talking about other kind of, you know, misconceptions or misunderstandings around hydration, what is your take on things like alkaline water?
Yeah, to be honest, I think a lot of that, if it seems gimmicky, it probably is. a fluid is a fluid as it enters your body in many ways, as far as hydration goes. Obviously, what else that fluid carries matters, but it matters differently. You know, I kind of mentioned a little bit of this, how we understand that, yeah, fluid with, you know, other electrolytes, sodium, potassium, can potentially hydrate you better. But if your body is in equilibrium, it's actually going to kind of urinate a lot of that excess stuff out. If your body's not in equilibrium, or you're putting your body out of equilibrium like you might when you're doing a really intense, you know, activity, then that's a very welcome content of sodium, content of electrolyte. Things like, people who say that alkaline water is better, or I've seen, I think a lot of times too, that anytime you talk about like, oh, well, pH in the water you're drinking matters.
I
get some of the arguments behind it, but unfortunately they're pretty easily like dismantled with the fact that at the end of the day, it all hits your stomach, which is an acid environment.
That's what I thought, because if we can alter our body's pH that easily,
right,
I think that's a whole other health problem we need to be looking at.
It would express itself very differently, right? Like, you know, but at the end of the day, everything kind of goes through this GI system, and your body does a pretty good job at regulating it, right? Your stomach has receptors and produces chemicals to keep things at a certain pH, at a certain acidity in your stomach. And then as it goes through your digestive system at different acidities and at different concentrations of different molecules, so that it works effectively.
And what about carbonated water? I've heard, along with the alkaline water argument, I've heard that fizzy water apparently hydrates you quicker.
Yeah, I would probably disagree with that too. I maybe I'm wrong, but at the end of the day, there doesn't seem to be enough evidence to say it does anything different. And scientifically, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I mean, what in added carbonation would somehow improve absorption in your, you know, in your GI tract? Nothing really. It tends to fizz out most of it as it hits your mouth. That's actually that flavor you get. So I think where some of that idea comes from, and that anecdotal evidence comes from, is like, whoa, well, you drank a lot more. It's experiential. So if you're somebody who drinks a lot of fizzy water, it's probably because you really like the taste of fizzy water, or it encourages you to drink more water.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of a study, you somehow seem more hydrated than we're told to only drink water. It's just because you drank more water because you like the taste of it. Then, you know, if you're like me, I'll admit I'm not a huge fan of plain water. I find ways to add flavor to my water. Fruits is the best way, you know, just fresh fruit, lime, because that encourages me to kind of keep drinking out of my bottle and making sure that I'm properly hydrated. Those are kind of myths, and they should remain myths. They're not, there's no significant body of evidence that says like, yes, this is the best way to hydrate in your normal day to day. Again, if anything, there is there's true evidence for something with a little bit of sodium, something with a little bit of sugar, something with a little bit of potassium hydrating you better, but you don't need that in a normal day. You would only really need that if your needs are much higher because of your kind of physical exertion.
I was going to add to that as well. Apart from physical exertion from exercise, you know, personally, when I'm feeling ill, so, you know, you do expel a lot of liquids, particularly through the nose. And I think there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the importance of actually keeping hydrated, because the moisture levels actually in your nasal cavity is pretty important as well, and as a one small part of your immune system.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because actually that's super important. Anytime you're feeling a little bit ill, you know, your fluid needs change, especially you know, it's a little gross to talk about, but especially if you're talking about having any sort of GI discomfort, diarrhea. If you end up with a little diarrhea, you know, you're actually expelling more water than you normally would. And it's important to replenish that differently. And that's why products like, I know here we have it, right? It's Pedialyte and stuff like that is recommended. But that's considered a disease state. It's not just, you know, your normal day-to-day life. That's kind of out of the ordinary.
And when it comes to, I guess my favorite topic is obviously back to nutrition. Is there any relationship between thirst and hunger cues? Because I feel like, you know, I say it as a joke to a lot of people, like, if you feel snacky, have some water and then see how you feel afterwards.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, I want to point out that it's actually pretty good advice, right? If you think you're a little snacky, it's a good idea to try water first, particularly if some of your maybe health goals are to kind of stay at a healthier weight or whatever that might be. Unfortunately, I want to be clear that we don't totally understand a lot of that. And it has a lot to do with kind of how food is now versus how it maybe was, you know, years ago when human bodies were evolving. The reason I bring that up is because, you know, hundreds of years ago, we didn't necessarily have all the options of fluids with extra calories like we do now. Versus, and foods that are higher in volume but actually have lower calories. And we understand that that calorie number, it's right at the end of the day, that's just energy intake. So there's some thought that we might be kind of messing up the system that evolved for our bodies to understand that, like, look, if I need energy, I feel hungry. If I need fluid, I feel thirsty. And we think we could be, unfortunately, kind of screwing that up. But which is why I think that idea and that tip is, it's still really good, because here, if you're thirsty, you probably need to drink water. If you're hungry, maybe there's a chance, although we have no conclusive evidence, but maybe there's a chance you're actually just thirsty.
Yeah, 100%. And do you have any, I guess, interesting anecdotes or other kinds of misconceptions you've heard from people when it comes to hydration?
Yeah, I think, well, and it has to do more with the, maybe my personal experience. A lot of misconceptions about drinking these kind of electrolyte waters when you're exercising, because I think a lot of times the problem there is that a lot of times these electrolyte waters, you know, also have a lot of other stuff that are really unnecessary, extra colorings, extra sugar that don't really do much for you health wise. You know, they're not the end of the world either, but if you're like most of us, you go to the gym, you're not really exercising yourself continually for over an hour. You really don't need to drink an electrolyte drink. You don't need Gatorade or Powerade or whatever option you choose for that. And I think that's important because it unfortunately ends up adding in a lot of situations, it ends up adding a lot more calories. And other
things. So quick to consume a lot of.
Super quick to consume, exactly. And same with a lot of the other supplement type drinks, you know, your pre-workouts and your like.
Yeah, and this feels like, you know, kinesiology tape, you know, the physio tape.
Yeah.
It's like, unless you are, you know, competing for your country, you probably don't need that bit of tape.
Exactly. It probably doesn't do a whole lot. And it's this exact same with hydration, you know, unless you're running or you're planning to run, you know, for close to an hour, over an hour. And I mean, like being active the entire time. I mean, you know, when you're in the gym and you do 15 minutes of cardio and then you move to like the weights, it doesn't mean you've been active the same level for an hour as someone who's been running for an hour. So you don't really need electrolyte to do this, right? You don't need these fancy drinks, these hyperhydrating drinks, all this stuff. You know, water will actually be enough. Now, that being said, at a level where you're actually training for something bigger, you want to do a triathlon, you want to do a marathon, you want to do a 10K, you're going to be running for longer than an hour. Yeah, there's possibly a need for those sport drinks. And I tell you to be picky with what you buy out there and maybe don't fall into the super gimmicky stuff either.
So Sergio, thank you so much for answering all my questions about hydration. Can you give our listeners three actionable tips to take away with them from this episode?
Definitely. it's a little bit of a joke, but my three tips would be drink more water, drink more water, drink more water. In reality, actually, you know, do drink water if you can. If you can't stand the taste of water, it's totally okay. Don't feel judged. If you want to add a little bit of flavoring, the best thing to do is add a little bit of fruit to your water, a little bit of lime. Another really important thing I would recommend is to measure how much water you drink. Maybe you can start with like a general recommendation, those 2 to 3 liters. Because if you're measuring your water intake and you have a pretty standard, you have a pretty standard routine in your day, you'll actually be able to kind of fine tune how much water is actually best for you beyond any recommendation anybody can give you. Measure that water. If you have a water bottle or whatever device that you know how much volume is there. Because if you know you drank 3 bottles or 2.5 bottles, you kind of have an understanding, right? And keep track of that. If you already keep a food journal, keep track of that. Keep track of how you felt that day when you drank 2 bottles versus 4 bottles of water. If you felt better with more water, you should probably be aiming more for that. If you felt fine with less water, you're probably getting your fluid elsewhere in your diet. And then a third tip is, here we go. Yeah, a third tip is to do remember that every fluid you consume can be contributing to your water intake. Don't let anybody tell you that like, oh, this is making you dehydrated. No, coffee will not instantly dehydrate you like a true diuretic drug will. Neither will alcohol, but while you're drinking all of that, it's still important to drink some extra fluid.
And finally, Sergio, the last question I ask all my guests, what is the one food that takes you to your happy place every time?
Awesome. I'm not ashamed of it. Pizza. I really love good pizza. You know, not just kind of an ideal pizza, but great pizza. I think it's great. I have this dumb argument that pizza is a great vessel to get all your nutrients as long as you've got, you know, you've got carbs, you've got fat, make sure you put a lot of veggies on there. So that takes me to my happy place.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!